right. Thank you, Sister Ogden, for that good message and song. Well, we're in the Thanksgiving mood. I hope tonight we're going to try to have a few testimonies. It's almost a traditional thing with us here the last few years anyway, that we have Doug and Kim come down from Alabama. I've been kidding about it, but I had a great time up there with them. They had a anniversary Sunday, and I'm telling you what, they had a crowd, they had a tremendous meeting, and God bless so much that the storm was supposed to come and it just held off. Now, it looked like it was up there, but it just wouldn't come on down, and we really had a great time with them up there, and a great meeting. I'm going to have them say a word to us, but I've looked around and I see at least two other pastors here, preacher boys, I'd call them, out of our work one time or another. I'm going to ask Brother Noblet if he would come down, and I'm going to ask him to see if he's got anything to say except about football. Ohio's been doing just too good. I'm not sure whether it's referees getting paid off or what it is, but they're just doing too good, amen? And he's been known to brag on them. And I look around also, and I see Hector Rodriguez over from Texas. We had you on the prayer list not too long ago. How about, Hector, how about coming up, and I want you and Brother Noblet give us a word of testimony, and then I'll have Doug give a word, and if there's any time left, I may call on somebody else out there. Okay. Brother Rodney, come on up and tell us how it's going, and except we don't need to hear anything about football.
Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be here. We did come into some bad weather up there in Ohio, and tornadoes and stuff were coming to the area just before we left, and they said the evacuation plan was Gainesville because there's no chance for a touchdown in Gainesville, so we thought we'd make it down here. So anyway, it's good to be here. Church is going great, and couldn't be going any better. It's going great, at least when we left, and I assume things are still going well there. And sincerely, we came down here to celebrate Thanksgiving with family and in-laws. And this past Saturday, Pastor Carter married me and my wife 17 years ago. 17 years of marital bliss, and I was right on the balcony there just 6 months before that I asked my wife to marry me when the choir practice was going on down here, and I looked down when I was done, and I saw that some ladies in there, they were crying and boo-hooing a little bit, and they might have been feeling bad for my wife when she was getting into or whatnot, but anyway, 17 years ago, we thought we'd come down and celebrate with family and our church family. A lot of wonderful memories here. And Pastor Carter was with us our last anniversary Sunday we had at our church. Had a great time. Him and Mrs. Carter got to come up, and it's always a joy being back here at home. Pastor.
We were with them, and they treated us so good. They took us into Amish country, and we ate at a Amish restaurant. That is a treat. How many of you have done that? That's tremendous, amen. And they had a great crowd, great service, done a great job up there, and we praise the Lord for it, amen. All right, I'm going to ask Brother Hector if he would to come on up. And you started a church in Texas, right, Brother Hector? Come on up and tell us a little bit about it, please.
It's always a treat to be back over here. We have lots and lots of memories here at Landmark Baptist Church, and good to see many of you still faithfully serving here. And can't quite remember everybody's name, but I do remember the faces, and just want to say praise the Lord for your service and faithfulness for so many years. Pastor Carter, we love you very much. You are in our prayers. We love this ministry. About a year and a half ago, the Lord led us to Texas to start a Spanish work, and we started a church just behind the building of an independent fundamental Baptist church. And the pastor said, listen, he says, we can't do anything to help you out except give you room, and you just try to carve out a work here. And so my wife and I just began to knock on some doors, and before you know it, the Lord started sending the people and started to work there. Had about 30, 40 people, and I guess it was maybe about 8 months down the road, more or less, That pastor, well, it wasn't 8 months, it was probably about 6-7 months down the road, that pastor mentioned that he was called to be a missionary. And I said, wow. I said, well, where to? He said, Hawaii. And I said, I want to be called. Take me with you. And but anyhow, he moved on to Hawaii, and it was very evident the Lord was leading him to the mission field. And so the pulpit committee had surprised me and asked me that if I'd pray about taking the church and the main church there. And that's something, and you know, I said, preacher, I can't even handle you leaving. I said, why are you even leaving? And so it's something I prayed about, and I felt peace about it. I felt like the Lord said, listen, I brought you here for a reason. And one thing led after another. They ended up, after so many applicants or resumes, however you want to call it, they finally called me down to be their first candidate. And so then the Lord had us pastor that church, and it's been a joy. And we've been pastoring there and the Spanish church for about 6 months. And the Lord finally told me, listen, Hector, you're out of balance. We want somebody else for the Spanish ministry. And there was a man I got to win to the Lord years and years before up in Iowa. And I called the man down just to come help me teach Sunday school. I just didn't have enough time to teach and preach the entire day for two churches. And the Lord, after a couple months, said, listen, I want you to give it to him. I really felt that that's what God wanted. So I talked to him, talked to the men, every family that was there in the Spanish church. Of course, we cried together and were sad, but they accepted him just fine. And now he's pastoring the church. They've had new visitors and people saved. And now they just told me they're going to have people baptized in my absence this week. And just excited about it. And my wife and I are serving at the Trinity Baptist Church now. And the church is growing. We're excited about what the future has to hold. I do thank you. So many of you have shaken my hand and said you were praying for me. And you've announced my name for prayer. And I was sick there for a while. They called it the fever of unknown origin. Anybody heard that before? I've never heard that before. So I said, what's that? He says, well, the key word is unknown. And I said, okay. Then later on, I wanted to call back because I said, well, y'all knew my address when you sent that bill then, huh? But nonetheless, Lord's taking good care of me. I sure do appreciate your prayers. Preacher, we love you. Thank you.
Well, unknown, except for the bill. I tell you what, that's some of those same diseases around here, Hector. Well, that's a good report, isn't it? Doing good. We praise the Lord for that. Well, I'm going to ask both Kim and Doug to say a word. They, somebody laughed. They worried about Kim. They served with us here a good bit. And I really think Doug ought to write a book of stories like the last one that you folks had me do, because he's got the stories. I mean, God has worked miracle after miracle in their lives. For that church to be there, and what was it on the big day, 600 plus? 707, amen. That's tremendous. And you got to remember, they went to that town with a few pennies in their pocket, knowing nobody. And God had just blessed soul winning. He's blessed dedication. He's blessed door knocking and all the things that the modern crowd says won't work. They still work because God's in it. Amen. And that's tremendous to see the new buildings and the property that was bought and just miracles. I don't know. Mike can share a little bit of it tonight in a few minutes that's left. Doug, you want me to get Kim up first? Why don't both of you come up here, and you can sit with me on the bench up here, Doug, and she can hear you if you have to call her down. All right.
I love being a Christian. This is where it all began for me. My life and my love for the Lord began right here. And so many precious, precious memories, and so many of you have added so much to my life. I think about you all the time. I cannot tell you what a joy it was for us to have Brother and Mrs. Carter with us. Our people, and I knew they would, fell in love with them. one of the ladies came to me afterwards and she said, you know, I've listened to you at all of the ladies' banquets and things that we've had. And she said, and then I heard your preacher. And I thought, don't tell me I preach like him, because that's not my goal. So she said, no, I was just listening. I said, well, I sat under him. He's a great man. I can't think of any other compliment I would rather have than to be able to have sat under my preacher and taken some of the things that he's taught me with me and to be able to share them with other people. I am addicted to Crossroads Baptist Church in Dothan, Alabama. I love it. I love where it is. I love every person that is there. We have given our heart, our soul, and our life to that ministry, and it is one of the biggest blessings of my life. I cannot tell you what a wonderful life we have. That doesn't mean that it's always easy, but I'll tell you, God always shows up. Amen. In his time. And there have been a lot of times, a lot of memories of starting a church from nothing. I've seen my husband, and I would say Brother Carter married us here 28 years ago. That does not seem possible to me. Sometimes it seems like 50, because we've done so much together and everything. But, you know, in all of the years that I have known my husband, he has never disappointed me. Amen. In his walk with God. I've seen God answer prayers. I've seen my husband on his face. I've seen his tears. I've seen when he didn't know what to do and where to turn, he would just go soul winning. And I can't tell you how many times God has come through for us. And I really believe it's because of my man, the one that God gave to me. And I love him with all my heart and soul. But I just wanted you to know that there's a place in Dothan, Alabama, that is a little bit of Landmark Baptist Church. We have a Christian school. I teach in the Christian school. I love it. I teach first and second grade in the morning. In the afternoon, I teach all of our high school English, literature. And you want to know, so you try teaching grammar in Alabama. Most interesting, Brother Hartwig, bless his heart, when I was in school, sitting over there, he used to say, Kim, honey, if it sounds right to you, it's probably wrong. And to this day, I tell them that. And you can see the wheels turning in their head when they're giving me an answer. Okay, it sounds good this way. It's got to be this way. So it's a blessing. But what a great life. What a blessing to be able to serve the Lord. And we love you. And I tell you, we wanted to kidnap them and just keep them. Honestly, the book that Brother Carter wrote, everybody in our church is still talking about it. And we're very, very excited about they've heard about all of you. They've heard about them, and for them to be able to see him and see why we love him so very, very much. And my preacher's wife, she is an amazing lady. And I think about her a lot. She was also my Sunday school teacher during some very crucial years in my life. And boy, am I thankful to God. When we pulled into Lakeland tonight, we looked over Lakeland High School. We passed it. I said to my husband, if I hadn't gone to Landmark, that is where I would have been. Thank God I didn't go there. My life would have been so different. Thank you to all of those who were my teachers. I don't tell you enough, but you have molded and done, you did a great job, let me tell you, because I sure had a whole lot of work rough around the edges, still do. But we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we thank our preacher. We love them, want them every time we can get them. But I just feel like this is where it all began. It's always a very heartwarming thing for me to come home. This is home. This is where it all began. I was saved here. I was in junior church here while my mom and dad were rededicating their life to the Lord. From that time on, I went to Christian school here, graduated from the high school, went off to Bible college for one reason. I felt God was in it, but that's why I went. And boy, did I get more than I bargained for. So thank you very much for praying for us, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the future.
Tim, before you go all the way down, what was that group that you get where you can hear what I'm saying to? On their big day, she led a whole bunch of young folks. And
that was our Christian school.
That was the school, okay.
That was all.
And they had the bus kids, just like we do. Bus kids are bus kids everywhere, and thank God for them. But then she brought in the Christian school group, and you could see the outstanding job that they were doing with them. And on a big day like then, when there's a lot of confusion, they just kind of stole the show with me that morning. They were great. Amen. And she's responsible for that.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. God bless you. All right, Doug, I don't think you can top that, but we'll let you up anyway.
Brother Hector, where's he at? Does that unknown disease, does Obamacare cover that? I don't know about that. Anyways, but man, I'm glad you're doing better though. Praise the Lord for that. But man, it is a blessing to be here, and we do love y'all very much, and just thank God for Brother Carter, Mrs. Carter, appreciate them coming and being with us on our special day about a month ago. And man, I tell you what, it just was a wonderful day. Like Brother Carter was saying, there was supposed to be a hurricane coming our way, and it was supposed to hit that basically Sunday morning, I believe. And so we'd all been praying really hard, and Brother Carter said he was praying on the way up, and the Lord really turned that thing around. My mom is a great prayer warrior, and she had been praying, and she said that she prayed about 4 or 5 days earlier, and she prayed these words. She said, Lord, I pray that you would just please stop that storm, Lord, and God, just let it turn back and go back into the ocean. Let it be dissipated and turn back to the ocean. That's the word she prayed. And she said she turned on the radio on Sunday afternoon, and they said Hurricane Karen, I think is what it was called, said it dissipated and turned back into the ocean. The exact words my mom had prayed. And so, but we had a lot of stuff outside. I think you probably do similar thing where you have a lot of the inflatable things and kind of a thing outside for the kids. And so it would have really been hard to do on that day, but the Lord blessed, and it was just such a blessing to have Brother Carter and his wife with us. But we just thank God for y'all. And I wish we could express our gratitude like we ought to, but many of you I know don't know us because we've been gone for a lot of years. But my wife actually came on a Sunday school bus, and one day she was over in junior church. She'd been praying for her mom and dad to get back in church. Her dad had used to drink on the weekends into race car driving and so forth, and he's a good man and everything, but he just was away from God. And she started coming on the Sunday school bus, and she said she would go forward almost every week and cry and say, God, I wish my mom and dad were in church. And one day when she was in junior church, I don't think she even knew it. I think she had come on the bus with her cousin that lived in Haines City, because they actually lived in Lakeland, her family did. And when she was in junior church, her mom and dad had come that morning. Brother Carter preached. This was way back in the 70s. And they both had been saved, but away from the Lord, and got rededicated their lives to God. And then her dad, of course, Brother Wren down here, wasn't long before he came and talked to Brother Carter about having a bus route in Lakeland. And for years, they had a bus route in Lakeland, and so Kim had prayed for her dad, and he got right with the Lord and became a bus captain. And of course, Kim was his worker on the bus. And what a blessing that was. He parked the bus there in Lakeland at their house, you know, 20 some miles away. And so really and truly, if it wasn't for this church and Brother Carter and you folks here, truly there would be no Crossroads Baptist Church in Dothan, Alabama. I know the Lord's the one that builds a church, but he uses people to do his work. And we just thank God for you folks, and thank God for all of you. Brother and Mrs. Cone especially been such a blessing, because he was youth pastor when my wife was a teenager, and they've been such a great help and encouragement to us through the years also. And I wish I could mention so many other folks. I saw Brother Christian who came up and led in prayer. I know he's in Tennessee now, but he was a bus driver when I was bus captain here years ago. And I can think of so many stories of things that happened while we were here, and so many blessings that are directly related to Landmark Baptist Church here. But I that book that Brother Carter wrote, God's Hand is Real, His Hand is Real. If you don't have that book, I know a lot of times when you're here and it's your pastor and all that, you might think, well, I already know all those stories. But I'm telling you, I've heard Brother Carter preach, I guess, a few hundred times, and some of those stories I've never heard before. And that has got to be about the next to the Bible, maybe the greatest book I've ever read. I don't say you can read that book without crying. Man, the hand of God has been on him and his wife and family and on this church for all these years. It's just amazing and so encouraging. I read one little chapter, I think 3 or 4 pages. I'd never heard the story, Brother Carter, about when you were out there working at the camp, and I guess Brother Stephen was just a young boy. And Brother Carter got in a bog, almost like quicksand, and he began to sink and sink and sink. And of course, Brother Stephen was just a young boy. I'm guessing he was 7, 8 years old. I don't know how old he was, but it sounded like he was just a small boy. And Brother Carter knew he couldn't get out. If he struggled, he'd just sink worse, like quicksand, actually. And I'd never heard him tell the story before. And I read it in that book, and how that he got to where it was right up there to about his mouth and just about to cover his nose. And Stephen had run to some neighbor to try to get help or something. And you just have to read the story to see how it happened. Obviously, he didn't drown by a miracle of God. But it was a miracle of God how God spared him. And it touched my heart. And I think the chapter that title chapter is God Gave Me a Second Chance or something like that. And Brother Carter said when he went home that night, after God, I mean, he came literally within seconds of going under before God turned it around and got him out of that bog. If you've not read that book, you got to read that. You got to read that book. I'm telling you, it's just one story. It was just miracles. But he said when he went home that night, he said the food never tasted so good. He said, God, you gave me a second chance. And it blessed my heart because Stephen was just a small boy. And he said, Daddy, can I sleep in your room tonight? And he said he slept right beside the bed and held his daddy's hand. He was so glad that God had spared his dad. Thank God for Brother Carter. Thank God for his son faithfully pastoring alongside his dad. And what a blessing that is. And I tell you, I thank God for each and every one of you. I don't really know what else to say. I could preach or give testimonies, but I don't want to take too much time. Brother Carter, you mind if I just maybe share one testimony of the Lord's taking care of us through the years? The Lord has taken such good care of us through the years, but I think about Brother Hector, who just went and started a church and then God opened that door and kind of let their church merge with the other one. And that I know had to be a great encouragement to them. But we went there to Dothan, and when we went to Dothan, Alabama 23 plus years ago, we honestly didn't know anybody. Never been there before in our lives up until we went there to visit about maybe 2 months before we started the church. And when we got to town there, we literally had no credit cards. It was probably a good thing, but we didn't have any credit card or anything. I'd maxed out all the credit I had borrowing money just to move there. And we literally had about $20 in pennies. And I remember after we got there to Dothan, we had been there maybe 3 or 4 days. We didn't even have a mailbox. There was no mailbox at the house we were renting. And I couldn't even pray for mail to come. We didn't have a telephone, no cell phones back then. And we had no money. I was talking to my wife. I said, Beth and Josh was 3 and 4 years old. And we said, what are we going to do for food? I said, I don't know. We came here by faith. We don't know how we're going to eat. We couldn't pray for money to come in the mail. We literally didn't know anybody in Dothan except we just moved there about 3 or 4 days. Just had moved into the house that we were renting. And we were there, and my wife said, wait a minute. The kids call her dad Pappy. He said, Pappy gave Beth and Josh a jar of pennies. He'd been saving a jar of pennies for, I guess, a year or so. And it was not quarters, nickels, and dimes. he's too tight to put that in the jar and give it away, but he gave his pennies, God bless him. But anyways, but it was a jar of pennies, and we said, you know what, they're only 3 and 4, they'll never know we stole them, you know. So we took those things, and we brought them down, I went down to the bank. I don't think I'd open a checking account if I didn't. I didn't have no money to open it with. I just went down, and I got a bunch of penny rollers. We came to the house, and we rolled them all up. And it was about $20 worth of pennies, and that's all the money. I promise you, we didn't have a dollar bill. That's all the money we had. And so we went back to the bank, of course, and got, you know, cash for the pennies, and went down to Winn-Dixie grocery store. I don't know if you have those here, but Winn-Dixie's grocery store there. And we got as much food as we could with $20, more or less. Knowing we didn't know when we were going to get any more money. We just came there to start a church, didn't have a building, didn't know any people. And so we got, you know, loaf of bread, and we got a whole bunch of those long noodle soup, you know, 7-8 things for a dollar, whatever you call those, Ramen noodles or Roman numerals, whatever you call them. And we got macaroni and cheese. We got, you know, we did get some tea bags and sugar. If nothing else, we're going to have sweet tea. And so we got all that together as much as we could for $20. And I realize inflation, maybe it was about like $40 now, because everything probably doubled in 23 years. But we got what we could, not a whole lot for $20. And so we had the food, and we'd been eating it for 3 or 4 days. Well, we had been at another church before in Michigan for 2 years as principal of a school, bus director, and they took good care of us and everything. And so, you know, we had plenty of food when we lived there. And so our little girl, Bethany, come in, and we'd been eating that on that food for about 3 or 4 days. And she looked at her mama in the kitchen, and she was almost crying. She said, "Mommy, how come when we lived in Michigan, we had all sorts of good food to eat, like chips and stuff like that?" To her, chips was good food, you know, like potato chips or whatever. She had all sorts of good food to eat, like chips, and now all we got to eat is toast. And we had a little bit more than that, but not much. We just make toast and eat it. And we didn't hardly have any food. That's all we had. And it just broke my heart. I went in the bedroom, and I shut the door behind me, and I knelt on the bed and opened my Bible to Matthew chapter 6, which is my favorite verse in the Bible, Matthew 6:33. And I knelt by the bed, and I prayed to God. I said, "Dear God, you know we came to Dothan to start a church, God, and Lord, we're not complaining. We have food to eat. God, you're good to us, Lord. But our children don't understand. They're only 3 and 4 years old. God, would you please give us some food for them?" And I opened my Bible, and I read Matthew chapter 6. If you know the passage, it said, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, wherewithal you shall be clothed. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have all need of all these things. Consider the birds, how God takes care of them. Consider the lilies of the field, how he clothes them. And are you not much better than you know, the sparrows, and better than the ravens," and so forth. "And your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And I was on my knees there for probably maybe 10 minutes. I wasn't praying for 4 hours. I was just on my knees long enough to read about 10 verses in Matthew 6, the end of the chapter, and to pray to God just for a few minutes. And after I'd been on my knees for 5 or 10 minutes asking God to help us, the door opened. It was my wife. She said, "You won't believe what just happened." I said, "What?" And I got off my knees. She said, "Come here." I came out of the bedroom. While I was on my knees for that 10 minutes, a lady came by the house that we'd never seen before in our life and knocked on the door. And my wife opened the door. She said, "We heard you came here to start a church." And she said, "We thought you could use some groceries." And she had brought 3 or 4 bags of groceries and set them on the counter. And I'm telling you what, listen, the Lord supplied our need. It wasn't just groceries. It was the kind of groceries, you know, like some folks give at Thanksgiving time or Christmas. You know, bring your canned goods and you get some rusty can, you know, of octopus legs or something, you know. or if you're like me, give away your spinach. I'd be glad to give you that spinach. I don't like spinach to this day. And maybe you like it. I'll be glad to give you my share if I ever get any. But I mean, it was honest to goodness, it was the kind of food if we would have gone to the grocery store and picked it out, it's what we'd have picked out. It even had chicken in there, praise God. I mean, it had good stuff. And man, we looked at that and couldn't hardly believe it. And I'm telling you, well, listen, I could tell you testimony. I've said, God, for about the first two years, once we started the church, we didn't get a salary. And I told God, as long as you'll take care of our needs, I'm not going to get a secular job. Nothing wrong with that. I was willing to. And I was youth pastor for a couple of years where I worked another job. But I just said, God, as long as you'll take care of our needs, I just, by faith, pretend like I'm full-time pastor even though I don't have a salary. And we did that for about 2 years. And then when I got a salary, it was $75 a week. And I'm telling you what, God has taken care of every need that we've had. And many of those needs, God has used you as a church to take care of those needs. And I could give you many testimonies of Brother Carter and you folks here and phenomenal things that folks have done for us at Landmark Baptist Church. And we could never thank you enough. And I know it was God, but God uses people. And thank you for letting God use you to be such a blessing to us. And we do love y'all very, very much. And Brother and Mrs. Carter and Brother Stephen and all of y'all. And it's always a joy to see you. I wish we could see you more often. But thank you so much for loving us and being so kind to us. And those of you know we never met before, we love y'all too and pray for you often. And appreciate all that you mean to us. Brother Carter.
That story and so many others, God has proven himself in that work there in Dothan, Alabama, and proven himself as Doug and Kim trusted him, as you heard Doug tell that one, and so many others that happened just like it. I found out every now and then after God had already helped you, if you'd have called and said the babies don't have any food, we'd have got some. But he went to God. And God beat us to the punch several times. A few times he let us help a little bit on something. But the Bible tells us to prove the Lord, don't he? And genuinely so. And I do think he ought to write that book, because it's just miraculous, the things that have happened. To go there now and see the buildings that's been built, the property, and the miraculous way that it all came about, and the people that God sent by at the crucial time, many times he never knew them before. And that just had to be the Lord. Some of you say, well, why won't God do that for me? Well, have you put yourself in the same spot they put themselves in? I mean, think about it. I don't know that I would have gone to a town I'd never been to before, nobody I knew, with $20 worth of pennies. Try it tomorrow and see if God will do anything for you. Now, I'm not being facetious. The truth of the matter is, some of you probably have, in many different ways. And everybody's got some good stories where God's blessed. Thank God for that. An answered prayer. But even in this late sinful hour, God still shows himself real and shows himself strong on behalf of his people that trust him and that believe on him. Well, tonight we could all count our blessings. I hope you'll stay around. If Jesus don't come first, we'll have a watch night service, and about the last hour and a half of it, we'll give you a chance to give a testimony about how the Lord's been good in your life, and answered prayer or something else. It's my prayer you'll all have a good Thanksgiving, good family time, but please understand where your blessings come from. This secular world today is trying to take everybody's eyes off the Lord. I've said it before, it just bothers me to death when I hear about school curriculum that's just writing God out as though he didn't exist. And here a few years ago, they came out with the first Thanksgiving was to give thanks to the Indians. Now, the Indians did help, but a lot of those Indians knew the Lord because of the Pilgrims. But they were giving thanks to God. And that's what we still need to be doing. Amen. All right, let's stand. Brother Cruz, no choir practice. All right. I guess the majority of the college students are going home for Thanksgiving. And I want you to have the time off the holidays. But folks, if you do have